This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. If you are interested in a CD, cassette, or printed copy of today's sermon, please listen at the end of the program for information on how to order. Please join us every Sunday for worship on this station.
As you examine your prayer life, may I ask, for whom do you pray? Do you pray for yourself? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, after being fed throughout the week on the things of this life, thank you that we have the privilege to gather around your word and let it feed us. Help us, O God, to understand that there are good days. There are things that warm our hearts and make us feel good. But there are tough days. And help us to realize that in our prayer life, when good comes to us, we rejoice. And in bad, we come to you. For you alone can be our helper. You alone can be our Savior. Come, Lord Jesus, and speak to us through your word, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands.
Friends in Christ, as you examine your prayer life, for whom do you pray? I would imagine you would say, well, certainly I pray for my loved ones. I pray for those who are afflicted, for my church, for my country, and the list goes on. Today I would ask you, do you pray for yourself? We need to. If our Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray for himself, why did he go to the Garden of Gethsemane? Just there to be alone. First with the three, but then into the inner garden and to be alone, in order that he might make his request known to his heavenly Father. again at Calvary, hanging there on the cross, he goes to his Father in prayer for himself. Here we have today in our text, which is taken from the 86th Psalm, King David, who was a great example of a person who prayed often for himself. So I'd like to take three of David's prayers for himself and apply them to ourselves and ask if we do not really need to pray in that same manner. The first one is taken from the first verse of the 86th Psalm. Here it is. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Can you imagine this? Here is a man who is living in the palace. He is a king of Israel, and yet he cries out that I am a man who is poor and needy. David had come to the realization that many people have come to since then. Many have come to that in this day. That you may be ever so wealthy, and yet in other aspects of your life, are poor and needy. The material things in life cannot answer all of our needs. None knew that better than David. For example, he was a man who was so poor, so needy, that he lacked control over his emotions. He had everything that money could possibly buy him. Besides that, he had all kinds of wives. But one day when he looked out upon a lady who was sunbathing by the name of Bathsheba, suddenly he decided, it's not what I need, but it's what I want. And therefore, he requested that she be brought to his room. And in spite of the pleading from the servants, that emotion of David's was going to be satisfied. That's a pretty poor man. That's a sick man. That's a man who really is very needy. He was out of control of himself. I wonder if that isn't true, if not with that particular kind of a sin in our daily life from time to time. Anger. It begins to control us. Hatred that is ever surrounding us. A temper that flares at the least thing. That's a sign of emotional needs. And so would it not be right for us to pray, O God, you know that I have a terrible temper, and you know that I am often tempted to get out of control. I, God, am a needy man, a needy woman, a needy young person. Come to me and satisfy my needs. Go back to the life of David. He certainly must have had some real shortcomings as far as being a father is concerned. Of course, I imagine with all of those wives and children coming from this one and that one, it was a very, very difficult thing. But when you read through the book of 2 Samuel in your Old Testament, you'll see that David's family was really apart. There was among those half-brothers and sisters jealousy. They raped one another. They murdered one another. They envied one another. They caused their father no end of grief. They went to war with their father. And finally, when the father's troops had to try to put them down, his favorite son, Absalom, was finally killed as a part of the war effort. And there in 2 Samuel, you hear these words of a bleeding heart that was poor and needy. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, if only I could have died instead of you. So you see, when you and I find ourselves poor and needy, not only financially, that perhaps may not be true of very many of us who listen today, but in many other ways, poor and needy, come to God. He is the one who can help us with our emotions. He is the one who can be with us when we're really down in the dumps. He can lift us up. He will give us riches that money cannot buy. And God alone, we soon learn, God alone can satisfy our needs. Let's go to verse 7 of this great 86th Psalm. And I would recommend that you read the Psalm again today. In the days of trouble, I will call on you, for you will answer me. Verse 7. Now that's David crying out in prayer for himself. In the days of trouble, they could have been the days when the family was coming apart more than ever. And he called upon the Lord. How we have seen the need of this prayer in many parts of the Midwest in these latter days. Right in our own community, of which I am a part, we've experienced a terrible tornado and a devastating flood that swept through much of this state of Iowa. Here we are living in a little town called Parkersburg, surrounded with New Hartford, Dunkerton, Janesville. Quietly one night, here came a tornado. Parkersburg lost one-third of their town. It was destroyed. In that area, 6 died from Parkersburg, as I recall, and 2 from New Hartford. Others were badly injured. Later on, when things had settled down and we were given permission to drive through, my wife and I one evening drove by. It was breathtaking. You could go into the newest section of that town, and it was practically all gone. Beautiful homes that had been built there, and these people who built them, younger people mostly, were going to enjoy life. And suddenly it's taken away. In the day of trouble, I am sure that many God-fearing people in that town cried out to God, "Oh God, God, why? Why?" Did God give an answer? I think we'll see that better in retrospect. I think what he is telling us is that we live in a broken and a fallen world. I don't believe that God sent that tornado, nor the floods. Of course, it is within his permissive will. But we live in a broken world. And when sin came into the world and death through sin and death passed to all men, it also affected the whole universe. And so the scriptures talk about storms that come and earthquakes and whatever else it might be. And so it comes to where you and I live. What is God telling us? Well, let me say this, and I want to say it as far as my strongest conviction is concerned, that God did not send it, but now that it is here from a broken world, the fruits of a broken world, he can use it. And how he uses it is by showing us how helpless we are when those real perils of life really come. We suddenly begin to realize who we are. I have been quoting a time or two from the book by Sidney Poitier, who has through the years been one of my favorite people to watch in the theater. He is writing this book entitled Life Beyond Measure. He's writing it to his great-granddaughter. And he begins to tell here in this particular section, and I'll just share one sentence with you. Sidney Poitier says, "When I left the Bahamas and I came to Florida, nobody paid any attention. There was just another black boy who had come to the States. In New York City, I lived in an area of all black people, and they saw me just another one of them in the context of their lives. I began to understand. All along the way, there were signs that said, "Sydney, you aren't who you think you are." I imagine what he is saying here, and that's the joy of reading this man. You have to sometimes read something in, for he is trying to tell his whole life story, and the racial disturbances that he went through is perhaps seldom do you hear anybody put in such print as he is able to do. He was telling his little granddaughter, "I find out that I am not the person that I once thought I was. I'm not insignificant. I'm precious and I'm important to God. But my role in this vast, vast universe is something different. And so in the days of trouble, I need to have a God to whom I can turn." Well, we get over the flood, we get over the tornado in our area, and then came the floods. What an experience it has been, in our own particular case, just to go to bed and say, "Oh God, come to us in our times of trouble. Be with the people who are suffering. Be with those who have lost their homes with the water. But, oh God, bless and be with me, that I may be your servant through all of this and assist in whatever way is possible." And it was thrilling. While some of us were perhaps too old, or we thought we were, to fill sandbags, over 1,000 people in our town came to the rescue and saved the downtown. Flood stage was 88 feet, and our river had risen to 102.13 feet. Homes were damaged, completely destroyed. Downstream a little ways, 75 miles, Cedar Rapids, 20,000 people taken out of their homes and businesses all but destroyed. Iowa City, the University of Iowa, was going through great peril. It was a day of trouble, and there was God, and David is saying to us, "In that time, I will call on God, for he will answer me." And I don't believe that we have all the answers to these questions of why as we are trying to get back to normal again. But I believe that God will show them to us one right after another as the days pass by. Remember, he's got the whole world in his hands. And he is the one who has said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Troubles are a part of life. They vary from day to day with person to person, but God is there. God will be your answer. So you need to pray for yourself. Of course, for all others who are suffering more than you, perhaps, in these perilous things which I have just described and which perhaps have come to your area, or if not have not come, they will come, or other kinds of trouble in your own family. Cry out to the Lord. That's his invitation to us. And let's take the third one, just a quick look at it. We're in verse 11. David prays, "Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Those words, an undivided heart. "Do not only enlighten my mind, God, but also my heart, that they may be attuned to your will, and that I may walk obediently with you. Strengthen my faith. Grant that I may understand that no matter what happens, you, Lord Jesus, have atoned for my sins, and you at the cross of Calvary have paid the price that I might be yours forever as your forgiven child. Help me to have great conviction in this, that you and you alone are the way into a personal relationship with God, and that is where peace and tranquility and quietness come. Give me the strength, God, to let you capture my whole heart, that I might be consistent in my Christian living. Accept me. When I fail, forgive me, but then give me the grace to move on, that you may have my whole heart, that a year from today, you might have more of that heart than you have right now. That was David's prayer. That's our prayer, too, when we are committed to him. This is a prayer that all of us need to pray. Give me an undivided heart. He doesn't want just a piece of us, friends. He wants all of us. I remember a song that we used to sing in Bible school. It was something like, "Show me yourself, O Lord. Show me myself, O Lord. Show me your truth, O Lord. Open my heart." Yes, this undivided heart, that I may see myself a sinner, but that I may see myself as one whom God loves so much that he sent his son to die for me, that I may see myself so much that if I will but turn to him and receive him as Savior and Lord, all will be well. That's the truth. That's the kind of a God that David could cry out to. And so he describes him by saying, "You are a marvelous God. You are the one to whom I can turn. You abound in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry. Listen as I pray for myself. Amen."
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare.
Father in heaven, how good it is that through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have access to your throne of grace. We thank you that you are a loving God, and you're anxious that we should come to you in prayer. Prayer for the world, a prayer for ourselves. And so, O Lord, today we do pray for this world. We pray for our country. that you who have blessed us so much may be honored, and that we may be very, very willing to empty our hearts, to bow our knees, and to make known our requests to you. Here, O God, we realize how we need to be in that personal relationship with you, for we know that when you are less than that, it is not like coming to a father. So teach us to pray. And again today we pray that as we looked at the example of David, we may see for what we are to pray. That we are to pray for a united heart. That we are to pray when all seems to be going wrong. That we need to pray in our poverty. And give to us an understanding that poverty is often far more than the lack of wealth, financial wealth. And so hear our prayer and grant that we may be drawn closer to you and to one another. Hear us as together we pray the prayer that you have taught us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon has filled you with hope for the coming week. The prayers and gifts of you, our generous listeners, are vital building blocks of this ministry. If you are able, please help us continue to stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, our solid rock. You may direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, visit us online at christiancrusaders.org. Today's program, hundreds of archive sermons, a daily devotion, a preview of the upcoming program, and much more are just a click away. Christian Crusaders now offers a DVD video series of sermons, Basic Biblical Truths, by Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, for a suggested donation of $10 each or $50 for the 5-disc set. If you would like to receive this video series or a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.